God, take our minds and think through them, take our lips and speak through them, and take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. Please be seated. Throughout the years, I've had a lot of mentors, and I had a bishop for a long time, for about 3 years, who always said that if your sermons or homilies are making people feel good, change it. They should feel uncomfortable. This is one of those homilies and sermons in Scripture that makes us feel a little bit more uncomfortable. Last Sunday, Father Gar mentioned something in his sermon or his homily that stated that us clergy get certain points in our lives and in our ministry that we share very important life-changing events with people. Sometimes we're at their side at the most intimate moments. And I have been at the side of many who are dying or passing away or shortly thereof. And every time it's a very intimate and emotional, and it's a gift. It really is a gift to have a family ask to share that with you. And one of those that I was at the bedside with said to me, says, "Kevin, I'm just ready to go home." And a friend of hers in the room said, "Velma, what about all the work you have to do? What about the needlepoint you've started and this quilt over here you've started, etc.?" And Velma says, "You can finish it. I'm just ready to go home." And that was my grandmother. And she passed away 2 hours after that. At another time, I was with a young lady who was trying to get out of bed at the time of her passing, and she was around 33 years old, and the family, we got her back into bed and said, "Enjoy the love that's surrounding you in the prayers," and she passed within 15, 20 minutes of that, and that was my former wife and my daughter's mother. So each one of those times are times in where we may not be ready for or prepared for. And this sermon is really about being prepared. And if you look on Professor Google on the internet and look at commentary around the scripture, they all talk about being prepared for that time, being prepared for when Jesus comes. And I wanted to take it a little different angle. So, and I'll get there in a moment. But as we dissect the gospel lesson, there's certain things that are happening here that tells us a little bit about what's going on when Jesus is telling this parable. It was the listener at the time understood all of this. And my oldest daughter, who was here and her boyfriend here this morning, said, "I'm glad you went through it because I didn't get it." And she said, "You know, out of all the Sundays I bring Floyce, as her boyfriend, to church, it's about a marriage." And so she goes, "I'm not trying to tell him anything, really. So I'm glad you explained it." So let's go through it just a little bit. So there's 10 bridesmaids. Now, what happens when, in that time, the marriage was arranged? And when the marriage was arranged, they would take this parade, and they would greet people throughout all the villages, the bridegroom would. And then they would come back and celebrate this marriage. And no one knew exactly what time that parade would get back and return back to the village or the home or the gates. And the doors would be shut. The bridesmaids got up to meet and be at the square when the parade got there. So they didn't know. And they fell asleep. All really common things. Also common was the bridesmaids carried oil and lamps because it was unsafe for them to travel at night alone. So all of this is making sense, and this is part of their culture. The things that start being intertwined in here a little bit is there's 10 bridesmaids. Now, those were parts of the church at the time, or 10 different churches or 10 different tribes in Israel at that time. And 5 were not wise, 5 were wise. So now we've kind of got, okay, now we've got some that plan and some that don't plan, and 5 don't take the oil, and 5 do. Here comes the parade. The doors are shut. 5 get in, 5 don't, because they had to go buy oil, because the other ones wouldn't loan them the oil. And now they're stuck, and the bridegroom says, I do not know you. So a lot of symbolism here. The flask of oil could represent faith. I've already told you about the 10 bridesmaids. The bridegroom, obviously, that's Jesus. And the bridesmaids are the church. So at that time also, when that was arranged, the bridegroom wouldn't know the bride until the veil was lifted. So all of these things are going on in this very rich gospel lesson. And if you go look, the commentaries will say, be prepared for when Jesus comes, prepare the way. And then some preachers would go into being prepared at the time that you die. But for me, it needs to mean something to us today. And that's one of my bishop's challenge, is to tell us that, how do you get this message to the year 2014? So I looked up Professor Google, and I asked Professor Google, what does prepare mean? And they said, and I found this as a definition. Make something ready for use or consideration. So if I'm preparing for exam, I'm preparing to be used, to be tested. If I'm preparing, I'm going to be used for something. Okay, now if I'm being prepared, what am I going to be used for? And it's going to be God's service in this message. And that's where I believe this message is coming to speak to us in the year 2014. And speak to the living today. Not being prepared for the time of our death, but being prepared for life. God wants us to help bring in the kingdom of God, His kingdom, here today and through us. And to me, that's what we're supposed to be being prepared for. And in order to do that, He knows us. He knows how we're going to use how we can be used. And in order for Him to know us, we have to know Him. And to know means be aware of through observation, inquiry, or information, or have developed a relationship with someone through meeting and spending time with them. Does God know you? If He knows you, then you need to be prepared to know, accept, and be used by Him. A simple example of this is when I was filling up with gas the other day, about 3 weeks ago, and a gentleman approached me and says, don't be afraid, I'm not going to hurt you. But I ran out of gas on 71 Highway. My caseworker's bringing a container. I just need cash to fill it up. And I happen to just carry cash in my truck for parking. And so I gave that to him. And that's a little tiny thing. But a bigger thing is, a friend of mine at work, it's been 6 years ago, his nephew, so it would be his, and he's from Mexico, so it would be his wife's cousin's cousin, was in trouble, was not getting good education, etc. And they came to him and said, can you adopt him and bring him here and get an education? And he did. He was prepared for that. He already had six other kids, and he was prepared to help that child out and give him an education. So there's certain things that we are prepared to help, be prepared and be in service with God and with each other. And God needs to know us, because sometimes when we're asked to do something, we don't have the faith, the oil and the lamp, and we certainly can't borrow it from someone. So I can't say, I've been asked to do this, and I don't have the faith, so can you help me with that? Can you give me the faith? That has to come from knowing God. And in order to know God, we need to be in relationship with Him every day. Not just come and celebrate and worship and go to retreat, but actually be in a conversation with Him and know Him. So prepared for use through the knowledge of God and the knowing in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, I think is the message for us in 2014 from this gospel lesson. In order to do all of that, we have to be in prayer. It's not just enough to come and go and come to church and then go home. We have to be engaged with God. When we come to the Eucharistic table, we need to come not for, as the scripture, as the prayer book says, for pardon only, but also to be refreshed and renewed. We need to be in that relationship because we do not know, as the end of the gospel says, neither the day or the hour that we will be called. We might be called home, like my grandmother. We may be called into service, like my friend, a long committed service. Or we may be called just incidentally helping a stranger on the street. But either way, we need to be prepared. The gentleman was kind of scary looking, I guess. I just met him, walked right up to him, shook his hand, and because I had faith and I believed in, I was prepared. I guess I believed and had faith and I believed in him, not even knowing him. I believed in him through Jesus Christ. That's the type of relationship that we need to be in, and that's what we need to be prepared for. In 2 weeks, we start Advent. Can you believe it? We're going to start Advent. That means there's only a few more weeks of shopping left and all of that. And in 2 weeks, when Advent starts, we're going to hear over and over about being prepared. And it's going to be about being prepared for the coming baby Christ. But what about being prepared for use? For your use in God's service. For your use in His eternal kingdom. To bring that love of God through Christ to those who are strangers on the street. To those that are your family members that who may not know Him. Being prepared for use is a whole lot different than just being prepared and leaving it open-ended. Be prepared for God. Know Him and allow Him to use you for His service. Amen.